Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for giving this opportunity to stand in your midst as with a youth message today. Our God is a good God. Hallelujah. I wanted to give a contemporary message with regards to today's day, but however, the Spirit of the Lord did not lead me into that, and being obedient to God's Spirit is more important than using my own flesh. So, as I was praying, when I finished the last youth message, I know my next turn will come. Okay? So, I was praying for the youth message, to be honest. Okay? So, God gave me a message which is actually related to the last message a little bit. Or even I can say, God's Spirit is so great that it is also connected to yesterday's message, which was given by Sunil brother also. That is how our God is so great. As one day when I was listening to all the children who come up and say the memory verse, I was one of our children said a memory verse. This is no offense to anybody, don't take it personal, but they said a verse from Isaiah 55 verse 2. I will just read it for you. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. I was a little bit intrigued. I like the verse, eat what is good. So I was like, oh, wow, you should eat. I'm not against healthy eating. Don't misinterpret me. You have been taught about healthy eating, healthy food, that is all good. But when I was sitting there, I was thinking, what did the Lord Jesus say to us? In John chapter 6, verse 27, it says like this, do not labor for the food that perishes, but labor for the food that endures to everlasting life. The food that we eat, even though eating is very good, especially when you're fasting and you go and you eat, it'll be taste good. Even a glass of water will taste very sweet if you don't have food. But even though eating is good, our Lord Jesus said, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. So based on that we have to always be thinking about our eternity. With today's message, I don't want to take a long time with introduction, topic is following God. How we should follow God. Many young people, when you see, they try to follow many people. They try to follow famous personalities. If you look at the hairstyle of some people, you can understand that. They have hairstyles of certain people they admire, their dressing attire, the way they dress, the way they behave, they do. But we, God's children, what does God expect us is, God expects us to follow him always. God expects you and me to follow him, and that is what we can, why I said it is connected to the previous message is, if somebody remembers, before 2 months I talked about two disciples, how when they heard about Jesus, in John chapter 1 verse 35, it is there. How when they heard about Jesus, they went and followed Jesus immediately. You can see, and we saw the reason there. The reason was because he is the Lamb of God. We follow Jesus only for that reason. But today, I'm not going to stand on that topic. Today, I'm going to read Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. I will just read 57 and 58, and then we will go on like one of the young people can read. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 58. Thank you, Abel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves, O God, at your presence, O Master. Lord, as Lord Father, we meditate on this verse, O God, Father, on this passage, O Lord. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would expound it to us, O Lord. Lord, cover me under your blood and let your name be glorified. Take the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you can see that Jesus, when you follow God, God wants us to be his disciples. When God gave us the Great Commission, God said, go and make disciples of all nations. So God wanted us to be a disciple. But here you can see, here in the 57th, as they journeyed on the road, there is someone who's coming and saying, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. In this passage, 57 to 62, there are three instances where people are saying, or two instances where people are saying to Jesus, I will follow you. And one instance, Jesus is saying the other way. So let us go into this message. Here it says, I will follow you wherever you go. So here is a man who wants to follow God wherever he goes. Isn't it a good decision? It is a very good decision that person is making. To go wherever the master goes, he wants to go. But what did Jesus reply? Jesus replied like this, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Why did Jesus reply like this? Somebody is coming and asking, I want to go where you go. I want to follow you. A very weird answer if you really think in the human way. But Jesus, who is God and who knows the intentions of the heart, said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nest, but Son of Man, that is I, have nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus is saying, if your intention is to get a place to be with me, just to see the miracles, just to come and enjoy your time with me, you don't need to follow me. That was the message there. Your intention, God is seeing your intention. In other words, God wants us, you and me, to follow him as a sojourner, as a pilgrim. We are pilgrims on this earth. You and I are not permanent residents. We may be permanent residents of Canada or this country, but we are not permanently going to be here. We all have to leave. Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Son of Man cannot go. So if you are thinking that if I follow Jesus, I will get a house to stay with Jesus, unfortunately, the answer is no. That is not. Can anybody tell me what is the meaning of the name Jesus? Young people, I know the older people for surely would say. What does Jesus mean? Young people. God with us? No. What does Jesus mean? Jesus means one who saves his people from their sins. That is what Jesus means. Am I right? So the purpose of Jesus was not to find a house there. For that man, he would have thought, maybe if I go with Jesus, I can get good food. Maybe if I follow Jesus, I can see miracles happening. If I follow Jesus, I can stay with Jesus. But Jesus knew the intentions of the heart. Today also, God knows the intentions why you are following God. Your intention is not to get a place, not to get a material thing in this world. Your intention should be you are a pilgrim in this world. You and I started this pilgrim journey. When did we start? We started when we were born again. That's why we say, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. That is why the Bible says like this, you and I, some of you have started this journey, but others unfortunately have even not even started the journey. So those who have not started, it is time for you to come to the pilgrim of God, because the things of this world will all perish. We have a journey to go. And the journey, when it starts, the Bible says like this, that we are going to a place. Where do we go? We go to a place where Jesus is. I know many times we talk about the city that where we are going. Sometimes it is not about the city that we are going. It is not about the city that is going to be laid with gold, with all the costly stones. I'm not denying all that. But if God is not present there, if Jesus is not present there, our journey is a waste. In other words, don't look at the gold and the various stones that are present, but rather prefer to be where Jesus is there. That is why the Bible says, follow God as a pilgrim. This is what is an inner hidden message here, that God is saying to that young, to that man there, you follow me, focusing on the Lord Jesus as a pilgrim. Today the message to you and me is same, that we have to follow God as a pilgrim, focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, what does it say? One of you can read it. Hebrews chapter 12. So whom should we look unto? We should look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our race in this pilgrimage is set on Jesus Christ. If your eyes is set on a place where you want to rest your head, you are on the wrong track. If your eyes are set on the things of this world, you are on the wrong track there. That is why in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, what does it say? It says, let us lay aside every weight. It says, let us lay aside every weight. For instance, if you are going on a journey, let me put it like this. If young people, you are going on a journey, you want to go to a place, maybe to Houston, you are taking a flight, you will have limited luggage. You will not take all the things in your home. Similarly, in this pilgrimage, you don't need excessive baggage. You don't need a lot of things to carry on. Sometimes what we do is we carry all this baggage which is unnecessary. We carry it which becomes a burden for us, which becomes a burden that to reach our pilgrimage. That is why Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, what does it say? Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Can one of you read for me, please? Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Come to me, all who are... So here the Bible says, come to me all who are weary. So in this pilgrim life, you will, if you take unnecessary baggage, if you carry on unnecessary weight, what will happen? It will tire you on the way. You are going to get tired. You are going to get weary. That is why Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to Jesus. All who are weary and heavy laden, he will give you rest. You need rest in between this pilgrim, but it is not going, you're not finding rest in any other source other than Jesus Christ. That is why today the Lord is reminding us, you and me, that we have to follow God as a sojourner. You and I have to follow God as a pilgrim. Next thing, next incident, let us read verse 61 and 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 61 and 62. So here you can see, another incident. What is that incident? Another person is saying, Lord, I will follow you. His commitment is not great as the first person. The first person said, wherever you go, I will follow you. The second person is saying, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to my house. He wants to go back at first. He wants to go first and bid. In the first, in an initial perspective, you may think there's nothing wrong. He just wants to go bid farewell. Am I right? There's nothing wrong. He wants to go. But Jesus replied, what did Jesus reply? No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, if you are following Jesus, you cannot look back and then go behind. Let me put it like this. Follow, the second thing what God wants us is to follow God wholeheartedly, not with half heart. When you follow God, you should follow God with a sincere and a complete heart. Many times what happens is people want to follow God, then want to return back to this sinful life. They want to follow God, they want God, but they want to come back and enjoy the world too. They want to enjoy. Just look at what happened to the Israelite people. The Israelite people came out and out of Egypt. They were enjoying manna. But what did they started complaining? Read Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. It says like this. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. So here they are receiving manna from God. And they are complaining that they don't have meat. And what they were saying is, they are complaining that they did not get cucumbers, onions, garlic, and leeks. This is what is their complaint. They are getting good heavenly food from heaven, but they still complain and they desire to go to Egypt. What does Egypt represent? Egypt represents slavery. Egypt represents their bondage. That is what is Egypt. That is what they were. They are thinking that life is better. Today also, many of the Christians who follow Christ is thinking, my old life is better. My sinful life is better. How can you do that? How can? Because that's why God, the Lord Jesus says, ye, no one who's put his hand into the plow is fit and turns back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, if you have taken a decision to follow Jesus, you have to do it wholeheartedly. God doesn't want you to return back to your sins. God doesn't want you to live in your sins, to go back. Do you know? You and I were in sin. You and I were about to face judgment with no one to deliver us. And the loving hand of God was extended to us. The loving hand, just imagine, you were in around 40 feet depths with nobody, only with your hand there outside, within full, complete darkness. But a loving hand of Jesus took you outside and brought you out of that. And now we are thinking, that pit is better? Are we thinking that sinful life is better than the life with Jesus? That is why in Romans chapter 6, when you turn to Romans chapter 6, there are three things that God reminded me there. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says like this. I will just give you the main points because of the lack of time. Lastly, it says, you should not live in sin, but you should walk in the newness of life. You cannot walk in sin. Verse 11, I'm just going to go fast because of the time factor. Verse 11 says like this, you should be alive to God and your body should be used as instruments of righteousness. As Pastor was saying, I know many of the young people were not here. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our instruments, our body is where the Spirit of God dwells. We cannot give our body to sinful pleasures or to sinful lust, but rather this body has to be used as instruments of righteousness. That is what God intense. And 6 verse 22, it says like this: you have to build yourself in the fruit of holiness, and the end, I'm reading the last part, and the end is everlasting life. So you cannot return back. When Jesus is speaking to this man, when Jesus is speaking, what is he saying? Oh, you are saying a good thing, you are saying something good, that you want to follow me, but still you want to go back to your father's house. Today, if the Lord is speaking to you, do not, if you follow God, make a wholehearted decision. Whatever you do, do a wholeheartedly. If you live for God, do it wholeheartedly for God. When God, who sees the heart, will honor you and will bless you and will help you to lead a life in his newness of life, will help you to be alive to him, will help you to so that you can have the fruit of holiness. That is what means following God wholeheartedly. Next we can see, let me go a little bit fast, because there's one more thing. 59th verse, Luke chapter 9 verse 59. Here you can see Jesus is the one. Two instances, people were asking, Lord, can I follow you? In these three instances, I took this last instance because Jesus is the one is saying, I follow me. So two instances, they said they will follow Jesus. But every time, you see, when man asked to follow Jesus, there was some intention behind it. This is a true reality. When you see that you want to follow Jesus, there's some hidden agenda. Either they wanted to have to be with Jesus for the food or for the shelter or for what? Or also you can see he wants to follow Jesus, but there was something hidden in that. But when Jesus said, he said to another, not to the same person. Listen, if you read the Bible carefully, it's not to the same person. It's to another person. He said, follow me. When Jesus said to follow me, he also came with an answer. He came with an answer. Lord, let me go. Let me first go and bury my father. A genuine request. If you really see, it's a genuine request. A request that he wants to go. In the Jewish custom, they wouldn't keep the body for a long time. So his father is dead. In that scenario is where Jesus is calling him to follow him. In that scenario, just imagine when he had lost his father, when he had to go and bury his father, is where Jesus is saying, follow me. And then what Jesus is saying, when he told this, Jesus is giving him a direct reply. The reply is, let the dead bury the dead. That is what Jesus is telling. So when Jesus calls a person, not you following Jesus, when Jesus calls a person and when they ask a question to Jesus, he is faithful to answer you. When God is calling you, and God is leading you, he is going to answer your question also directly. He will answer and provide answers to you what the problem is. And then what Jesus says, he says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. But he said, let the dead bury their dead. There are things that are going to take place. In other words, there are traditions that are going to take place. There are things that have to take place. You don't worry about it. You don't worry about it. There are people who can take care. There are people who can take care about it. But what you should do, you go and preach the kingdom. We follow God with a commission. Follow God with a purpose. The Lord has placed each and every one of you in his kingdom with a purpose. It may be not that you don't have a talent to preach, maybe, but God has a purpose in bringing you into KPCT. God has a purpose and plan in his kingdom. You have to realize and know, understand what is God's purpose in your life. Many, it'll take time. You cannot understand what's God's purpose in a day. It will take time if you ask the Lord Jesus, what is the purpose of me on this earth? Why did you give me life? Why did you save me? He will tell you what is in the heart or what is in his heart. He will put it in your heart. And what you have to do, once you get it, do not treasure it and keep it. That's not what the Bible says. You should go and fulfill it. I have verses for all this, but I'm not going because of the lack of time. So you should go and fulfill the purpose that God has. Many of us, it is sad to say, many of the people do not understand what's God's purpose in their life. God has a unique purpose, a unique calling in each and every one of our lives when he brought us into his kingdom. Sometimes we forget. We sometimes forget and carried away by the wind, by the things of this world. But today the Lord is reminding us, if you want to follow God with the purpose that he has intended you, the purpose that he has brought you into his kingdom, the purpose that he wants to fulfill in you, so that you are, one day you and I are accountable before a holy God. He will ask you, I gave you this purpose. I put it in your heart. What did you do? Have you fulfilled that purpose? It may not be the same, but for this man it was, go and preach the kingdom of God. Don't worry about the traditions. Don't worry about what people will say. Don't worry what the things of this, the worldly things that will come, but you follow God with a commission. Hallelujah. Nowadays, when you see, you can see that people want God to follow them. We want God to follow our ways. That is what we are expecting. We are thinking that God should come in my way. God should come in my way and do the things that I want to do. It is not like that, my friends. It is not like that, my beloved. The way is, we become into God's ways. We have to follow God. It is we who need God more than anything else, because we have to follow him. I don't want to go through this. There's a beautiful song like this, which says, down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. That should be our desire. Our desire is to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us all stand up. Let us all stand up and let's just sing that chorus. You can commit your life to God to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us all stand up and let us sing together. Those who know with me, it's an old hymn actually. Follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, I would follow Jesus everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Dear beloved, let us commit today to God. Let us have a commitment to follow God everywhere, wherever he leads me, whether it may be through the street, through the valley, or through the mountaintop. If the Lord Jesus is in front of us, we have nothing to fear. Let us follow him as a sojourner, as a pilgrim on this earth. Let us follow him wholeheartedly, and let us follow him with a commission. May the good Lord bless you with these words. You can please be seated, and I request the Sunday school students to come forward and to give the memory verse now, to say their memory verses.